Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Some times ago, some doctor had come to the madrasa, all experienced, specializing. So he asked me, "Do you know what a university does?" Different courses that they teach, they offer those different courses. So no. Say they shape your thinking. You begin to view things in a certain way. You begin to reason and understand, analyze in a certain way. This is the gist of what happens at a university. It was on Lord Michael in the 19th centuries. So he was counted amongst the very elite people in that age, in education and all that. So he was sent to India for some reason. So when he saw the English schools, like we have it today, contemporary times, same style, maybe they've adjusted one or two things, but the theme is the same. So his conclusion was that any person that attends our schools, colleges, universities, be it a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Jew, a Christian, whoever, he will and he must doubt his own religion. He will doubt his religion and he must doubt his own religion. Because this is how the course has been structured. You look at anything, your own religion you will look at and you will begin to doubt. You won't look at your religion as clearly as you ought to, or you used to be thinking of your religion as a perfect, clean, clear religion. Now you'll have some reservations, you'll have some doubts, you'll have some reluctance in your religion. So this is what is offered at a university, school, college. The clarity of faith, the purity of your deen, that goes away, that is smashed down. And at every step you begin to entertain some doubt, some reservation. And in that reservation and doubt, the individual begins to feel that I am a little bit more intelligent, therefore these type of doubts appear to my minds. It doesn't come to the minds of the common person, it comes to me because I am more intelligent. So one is, he is in the wrong, then he is justifying the wrong. So that wrong becomes compounded. Right? When it's compounded, then it's a little bit difficult to cure. Because one is a person who's got cancer, he comes up front and he says, "I've got this problem." So it's easy to cure him. But the one who's got cancer and he says, "You know, I'm enjoying good health, extremely good health. My health is just improving." Now, sickness he's counting as good health. Now, the process of curing becomes more complicated in this case. So this is the problem today. So this person came to Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali and he says, "Is there a thing like Allah Ta'ala? If there is a thing like Allah Ta'ala, then show it to me with my five. I want to see it, all five. And if you can't show it to me with all five, then I'm not prepared to believe." So I told him, "You see, you're talking to me on the road. And this question of yours needs some explanation. So you come to my residence where I'm staying, and I will give you the detailed explanation." So he says, "Oh, for small little things, we have to come to your palace. You know, to come to your mansion, for small little things. So you got an understanding of this person's mentality, how he reasons. Like I told you, when they go to university, schools, then the mindset changes. And they don't see things like how a normal person will see. They become a little bit abnormal. So Musab told him, all right, see, say for example, you've got a cataract, right? And you meet up with the doctor on the road, and you tell him, see, I've got a cataract. So the doctor will tell you, come to the hospital, and we will sort you out. So you say to the doctor, hey, for this small little thing, I must come to the hospital. You got all the instruments and all that, all the instruments you got. You got the instruments, why don't you just sort me out? So if you get impressed with this person's statement, you start operating on him, on the road, what will happen? One is, 9 or 10, it will be a failure. Right? Number 2, if the medical board, they learn about this, they will strip you of your position. You will no more have the position now. Now when he gave him an example like this, now he understands, oh, now I understand. See they think, they're made to think that we are above the rest. So what we think is right, that is the, like that's the threshold. That's the benchmark, that's the threshold. And if anybody can't think like how we think, then he's backwards. Until you don't explain it to them with an example. Now the simple thing was, by act simple when you can't understand something, act normal, simple, I don't understand it, can you give me a better explanation? Now you understood it. When you gave him this type of an illustration, now he understands it. So anyway, he came to his home. So I asked him, all right, you may present your question again. Same thing, show me all 5. So I asked him that, when you say all 5, then what do you refer to all 5? So he says the 5 senses. Hearing, touching, smelling, seeing, all that. So I told him, see, the seeing is only done with the eyes. You ask a small child, what do you see with? And he will say, I see with the eye. No small little child, no person educated and uneducated will tell you that I see with my hands, I see with my nose, I see with my ears. Nobody will say, I see with my tongue. Nobody will say that. Everybody will say that I see and I see with my eyes. Now he got a little bit off guard. He was caught off guard. He went silent. So when he went silent, now Mr. Bastian, now repeat your question now. Because you said 5, you want to see it with all 5. So now he says, all right, until I don't see it with my eyes, until I don't see Allah Ta'ala with my eyes, I'm not prepared to believe. All right. See, your question had 5 columns. 4 columns all collapsed, 1 column is left now. You came out such a brave person, I must see with all 5, and then only will I accept. So, the reasoning goes warped, and that's a difficult thing. The reasoning goes warped. And one is the reasoning going warped, and number 2 is, you don't want to accept that your reasoning is warped. If it's warped, it's warped. Now you must say it's warped, straighten my reasoning, correct my reasoning. But when it's warped and you're claiming that I'm absolutely straight, then it's difficult to treat the person because he doesn't want to accept that he's warped. He doesn't want to accept that he's crooked. He feels that he's right. And he's convinced that he's one above everybody else. This gives some illustrations, examples. Maulana Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah Ali had boarded the train. He saw a person with his dog. Happened to be Sir Sayyid, the founder of the Aligarh University. Again, university and this same stupidity. Mullah Shabir Ahmad Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was once in a political conference in Lahore somewhere. So some person began to talk in English. Understanding that Mullah doesn't speak English, so deliberately he's talking English, whereas he can speak Urdu, but no, he'll want to speak in English. So Mullah told him, see, don't you cover your ignorance in the pretext of a foreign language. See, speaking a foreign language and you're covering your ignorance. You want to know what is knowledge, speak the language that is common and we'll show you what is knowledge. Now, you don't have knowledge, you can't understand things at a higher level, but you want to cover yourself up by a foreign language. So as to impress, okay, I am a little bit more intelligent than yourself. So he walked in with the dog. So Mu'adul Hay asked him, but hey, this is a strange thing, and you Muslim and you're walking around with a dog, what's wrong with you? He said, no, I heard from ulama that the malaika don't come where there is a dog. So therefore I carry the dog around, so it's like an immunity for me. So Mu'adh told him, all right, there must be some malaika who take away the souls of this dog. He says, yeah. So, well, those same malaika that I appointed to take away the souls of the dog will pull out your soul. Now you got shaken up. So he didn't expect this type of an answer. So he says, are you Mu'adh Abdul Haysab? Whereas before this, there was no formal introduction. Mu'adh asked him, are you Sir Sayyid? He says, yeah. Muhammad Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah also had some certain similar encounter. One person asked him, why does the hadith prohibit the keeping of dogs? Well, gave him the straight answer, clean, straight, pure, perfect answer. Said that these dogs, they keep away the malaika of Rahmat. So this answer did not appeal to him. So then Muhammad told him, you know what? See, this dog doesn't have social feelings, not sociable, it's unsociable. And the proof that it is unsociable, that if a dog comes from a different street to this street, then this thing will fight it. If it's eating and another dog is to come in, that thing will howl at it. So it shows that it's an unsociable creature. By you keeping an unsociable creature, then you'll become unsociable. Like how you have it in England, you know, they live cold lives. Everyone is for himself. Nobody is concerned about the other. Very, very cold and unsociable. Cold lives. So you become cold. Keeping dogs, all these type of things, and you become cold like how they are cold. Now this answer, when Mullah gave this answer, so he said, yeah, this is the right answer. That was the stupidity of this person here. The right answer was the first answer. That was the actual answer. This one here is just something that you forge out of your mind. But the actual answer is what Nabi Sam has explained. But because his mind is warped, see, mind is warped, mind is not right, so he'll go for the thing that is warped and crooked, not for the one that is straight. So anyway, Mustafa Rahmatullah asked him, all right, you have repeated your question. So I just want to know from you. So that means you will only accept something on the basis of seeing. I said, yeah. So well, then your understanding or reasoning is very, very narrow. It's very, very narrow. Because you don't accept only on the basis of seeing. You accept some fact, not only on the basis of sight. Sometimes on the basis of touch, And the bees are trying to say this is soft, right? This is hard. Isn't it on the basis of touch? This is wood, or this is metal, this is brick, or this is a pearl, for example, right? So that's on the basis of touch. So you get to understand and learn also by touching. Like how a blind person, he touches things and he recognizes. I've seen some blind people, they touch your hand, they take your names, oh, you're so-and-so. And by the way, Braille, how they do it. With touch, when they read with Braille, then how they read with touch. So information can also be acquired through touching. Same information is acquired audio-visual, through your ears as well. A lot of information that you get through, some is through your ears. So Master, as educated as you are, but your understanding is very, very poor, very weak. See, I had to show him. Why I had to show him? Not to run him down. One is to, you're running the person down, therefore you have to show the person his limitation. You know, it's not to run the person down, but it's in order to make him understand that, see, your question, the way you carried yourself was not right. When you can't understand things, you can't reason so well, then you need to carry yourself in a different way. But if you are so educated, etc., etc., then you would have known all these things, you would have known. But the fact that you can't understand all these things, it shows that you're not that educated that you carry yourself to be, you make yourself to be. So then, conduct yourself like that. And it's easier for people. I know the level you are. When I know the level that you are, that I can explain to you. So Mufti Sahib asked him, then, all right, then you say that you only understand and accept on the basis of seeing. So there's so many things that you haven't seen, but you accept. Your own teeth, have you seen your teeth? You may have seen it in the reflection of a mirror, but with your naked eye, have you seen your teeth? As close, your nose, have you seen it? The nostrils, have you seen it? Didn't see your nostrils. As close as the nostrils are, but have you seen with your eyes? You haven't seen it. Ears, have you seen? Your back, have you seen? You haven't seen these things, but you do accept that there is a thing like my nose, my ears, my teeth. Even the eyes that you see, have you seen your eye? You haven't seen your own eye. So then if you say that this is the benchmark, that I must see it for me to believe, then how do you believe that you got an eye, ear, etc.? How do you believe? See, so your understanding, your reasoning is flawed. So you rather than ask, just shortening this whole thing up, rather ask and carry yourself in a different way, present yourself in a different way. Ask, is it possible for us to see Allah Ta'ala? That's how you could have asked. Are we going to be seeing Allah Ta'ala? Is it possible for us to see Allah? That's the way you should have carried yourself. It's an easy way, direct, and I could have answered. You said, all right, this is my question. So yeah, it is possible. And a believer, a true believer, will see Allah Ta'ala. But the world has certain procedures, and you have to follow procedures, protocols you have to follow, and you get to the ultimate, right? Like you say, you want to see the president or the prime minister of America, right? For example, living in South Africa. You want to see that. Living here somewhere right in the sticks, right? Ambambulu living. No passport, nothing coming from the sticks. So what they'll tell you, by first get your ID right, then apply for a passport, get some cash, then get a visa to go to America. All this will take you about 2-3 years, right? Then when you get there, then too, you can't straight away see the president. Then you first have to learn the language now, right? Learn language, get to know the people, get to know the protocol that is required to be following. You can't just go to the parliament, you can't just go to the prime minister straight. You understand all the protocols. Then get close to the ministers, etc. All this take another 2-3 years, 5 years it will take you. Then you're lucky also. Then eventually you will get to meet prime minister. So how long it takes you? So you had to follow those protocols before you could reach and meet up. So the same with Allah Ta'ala, that you will meet, the mu'min will see Allah Ta'ala. But he follows certain protocols he follows. In this life he'll have iman. Beyond this life, he will be faced up with the munkar nakir in the grave. He'll furnish all the questions that are asked. And then after he's covered, he'll live there in the grave for some time until he's resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Right? On the day of Qiyamah, then the hisab kitab, the reckoning procedure, all will complete. All that will proceed, all will complete, and then Jannatis are sent to Jannat, Jahannamis are sent to Jahannam. All your deeds, everything is checked up. Your namaz, roza, everything is being checked up. Right? There isn't a thing that has been left out. Everything is being checked out. Now, all that is ended. Now, eventually, you got your dwelling or your abode in Jannat. Once you've got your abode in Jannah, now you will see Allah Ta'ala. But it's a protocol that you need to follow, failing which you can't. You don't follow the protocol. You don't have iman. And you want to see Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّهُمْ أَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِلْ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. You will be blocked off, you'll be sealed off. So I'll explain that today is a Friday. I'll start from this article on a Friday. But read Durood Sharif in abundance, right? من صلى علي إن قبري سمعته ومن صلى علي نائيا أبلغته. The one that reads Durood Sharif at my qabr, then I listen to it, Rosa Mubarak, then I listen to it personally. And the one that reads Durood Sharif from a distance, then the salams are conveyed to me, the malaika, right? So what a blessing that your salams with your name, your particulars and your details are sent to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so and so, son of so and so, coming from this place, he's conveyed salams, right? So these moments that we've got are very precious, very valuable moments. Value them, appreciate them, and as much as we can recite Durood Sharif, that we recite, don't allow this time to go without doing what we need to do. Allah Ta'ala.